think the causes are of the achievement gap between students of color and whites? And what would you do as a member to close the gap? How do you critique current efforts? And in this case, let's start with Arlene Silvera, who's a candidate for seat one.
Thanks, John. Good morning again. I'm going to take your questions in reverse order.
Sure.
I think the district has been closing the achievement gap, but it certainly is not enough. And I think we have to do a number of things to continue closing the gap until there actually is no gap. Some of the things that have been successful, which was part of John's question, I think is very critical, especially as we go into the budget cycle, in that SAGE and the small classrooms. The ability to have the small classrooms, for each child to get more teacher attention, to me is very critical for all students. I think it's very important to continue the community relationships, like the Schools of Hope Project, get those volunteers in the school, more one-on-one attention with children. The summer school programs, I think, have been very, very successful because you see over the summer many low-income children lose learning knowledge and reading knowledge more so than their other counterparts. Those are the types of things that have been working, but it's certainly not enough. What I think is causing the achievement gap, I think there's still institutionalized racism throughout the city, throughout the district. I have a daughter who is Latin American. We went to the UW hospitals on Monday. She had to have some medical tests. I walked in with her, and this woman starts screaming at her in very loud voices because she's assuming she can't speak English, and directs her down this hall to this, you know, the Spanish-speaking place and tells me, I'm assuming you are her translator. You can go with her. Now, this was the UW hospitals. If it's happening there, you know it's happening in the school district. And it's not okay. It made my daughter feel not good and not accepted. And those are the types of things that really bother me. I think we have to continue with the cultural competency training. We have to make sure that the people are training understand the district and understand the community. I think we have to continue programs like Schools of Hope. I think we have to continue programs like WICCITY. Right now, 0.9% of African American children are in advanced placement classes. Let's start asking the hard questions. Why is that, and how can we help these children? There are a lot of wonderful programs out there, from the People Program at the university to Project Excel, which helps low-income students in school. Again, things that we have to look at and continue developing. We have to work with organizations like Communities United and MAFAC to get more help and better understanding of what the needs of all of our children are. And we have to work on educating the parents as well. And I think something Juan said that's very important is expectations. I think it's very important that we have high expectations for all of our children. We challenge all of our children to reach their potential, and that's something that is not happening. And again, I think that ties back to some of the racism that you do see in the school. There's a lot of things.
Arlene, I apologize if you could finish up your point. We're trying to give you all about 3 minutes on this one.
In short,
thank you.
There's a lot of things that can be done, and maybe we can get into more detail throughout the morning.
We certainly will have that opportunity. Again, that was Arlene Silvera. She's one of the two candidates for seat one, which is an open seat. And now we'll hear from the person who is running against her, Maya Cole.
Thank you, John. I think this can be approached from many different ways. I think Arlene did a fairly good job of pointing out what is going right, but I tend to be a process person and not part of the status quo. And so I'm just going to kind of explain where I would come from as someone when I'm talking about, when I talk about change. One is that we have this dichotomy that's split up in the district that I hear frequently when I go out to neighborhoods, which is that, well, we have to deal with the low-income kids and all those kids with special needs, and then we have these kids that are talented and gifted and that they're on these two different spectrums. And what I've found by talking to parents is that, one, there are many parents in the district that don't feel like their voices are being recognized, specifically in talented and gifted, and also parents of kids of color. And this plays out because we when you look at the statistics, you find that a lot of our kids that are dropping out in high school actually tested fairly high and were considered talented and gifted in their scores like grade 5 math. And so what I'm trying to do is set up a process so that we don't keep pinning each other against ourselves and really face these issues. And so one example of this recently that occurred was that we had Fund 80 had some extra money put in it. It wasn't actually put in. It was money that was left over, and folks wanted to spend it on the board. And, you know, I could go into later whether we should spend it or not, but the process was such that one person decided basically which programs would be funded, and that was brought to the board, and the board voted on it. And the programs are wonderful. They're great. They're going to serve kids. But let's look at what happens when you have that process and you do things the way you've always done them. What happened is that the group MAFAC did not get an opportunity to weigh in on that. They didn't get the opportunity to present their ideas to the board, and I would argue many more.
Finish up your thoughts.
Sure.
Thank you.
Another part of the process that I would like to see changed is things like equity task force and expectations. We do have an equity task force, but I question it whether why we aren't including more people in the community than just, you know, one or two representatives. When you look at other school districts, they typically include a lot more people, a lot more professionals, a lot more educators. And I want to see that process continue. I think that's how you push the envelope, is by trusting the community and involving more people.
Okay. And actually, in part, wanted to alert you to the fact that you're anticipating our next question, which is the involvement of community-based groups. And so we'll have a chance for you to address that more in just a moment. But, again, we've now heard from Arlene Silvera and Maya Cole, who are the candidates from seat one. Let me start this time, if I could, in seat two with Juan. Did you get the gist of the question?
Can you repeat it again for me, Jen? I'm sorry. I was listening to Arlene and to Maya. So.
Sure. Essentially, you know, just we're remarking about the fact that the district has documented a persistent achievement gap between students of color and white students. And what we'd like you to address is what you think are the causes, and then what would you continue to do as a school board member to close that gap, and have any of the current approaches been successful thus far?
Well, I agree with Arlene on the thing of institutional racism. It exists in every institution that we have here in Madison and in Dane County and in Wisconsin and throughout the country. We know that, and it exists in Madison, Wisconsin, and in our Madison public schools. But, again, we have pushed the envelope and worked, as I mentioned earlier, with the Schools of Hope. The reading is very critical. Study after study from the University of Wisconsin to other institutions throughout this country, if you have higher reading expectations and levels of all kids, the success rate goes up dramatically. I mean, dramatically. And we've attacked that directly with the Schools of Hope through United Way, again, WISC-TV, and also Channel 3. Now, looking at that, what was important was also lowering class sizes. With the SAGE program, we were able to do that to K-2. We need to improve that or increase it to K-5. But the smaller class sizes gives the teacher the ability to be able to engage the student and to be able to utilize some of the methodologies and some of the strategies on making sure that they engage kids. Very, very important. The other one that's also very critical is the teacher training that we provide for our teachers. And I'm talking about cultural competency. I'm also talking about teaching styles, and I'm talking about learning styles. The compatibility between learning style and teaching styles is extremely critical. I mean, extremely critical. And we're working on that, and we've been very successful in making gains, but we're not where we need to be yet. But we're seeing more and more teachers that are getting trained and training other teachers to do so. The other one is a community component. Again, we only have children in our schools 19% of the time. The other 81% of the time, they're in the community, they're at home, they're at church, they're at the synagogue, they're in the neighborhood. Well, our partnerships through Fund 80, which has been criticized severely, I mean severely, directly affects kids of color. It directly affects kids of color. And let me tell you, the partnerships that we have in narrowing that achievement gap is that I want to focus on making sure that our kids, when they're in the community, when they're at the Boys and Girls Club, when they're at the Urban League, when they're at Centro Hispano, when they're at United Refugee Services, when they're with the African American Ethnic Academy, they're getting additional support and additional kinds of support mechanisms so that the kids can succeed when they come back to school. And to work in partnership between our teachers and our community organizations like the Urban League and Centro Hispano, that's an excellent program. I mean, they are serving over 1,000 kids in math tutorial programs, math, and with over 350 tutors that we're training, that we're directing one-on-one to narrow that gap. We currently engage with WICCITY. We'll be more than happy to engage with MAFAC or any other organization that's out there because we understand that the kids are not with us 100% of the time. I will focus on that as well. And again, on another one that I mentioned, and I'll stop there, is the recruitment and retention of minority teachers and minority staff. It's critical, folks. It's not the cure-all and end-all, but it's critical. The University of Wisconsin's struggling with that. MATC is too, but so is Madison. But we're doing things to change that.
Again, that was Juan Lopez, the incumbent in C2. We hear now from the person who's running against him in C2, Lucy Mathiak.
Well, thank you for asking about this question. It's one of the things that I wrote about quite extensively in my MTI questionnaire, which is online and available for anybody to read. As I see it, there are two issues. One is the achievement gap, and the other is the critical neglect of our high-ability students of color. They're both pieces of a larger puzzle of our school culture and our school expectations, which must be addressed. And I think the leadership starts with the board, and it starts with a board that can, in the same session, have Barbara Golden come and talk about achievement expectations and the equity formula for students of color, and other people come and talk about the issue of live animals in the classroom, and make a choice to focus much more on the live animals in the classroom than it has on student achievement for minority students of color. We have made progress, but in fact, if you look at the math scores, and I apologize to anybody who can't see this on their radio, this is where we were in 1987. These are the math scores, the percentages of students scoring at proficient or advanced on the eighth grade math test. And as you can see, the green one is the Caucasian students. They're way above everybody else. The yellow is all. They're slightly lower. The African-American students are way down at the bottom. Now, that's, you know, it's a gap. And the Latino students are here and the Asian students are here. That is a gap. Now, they redid the tests about 3 years ago so that the tests are actually scoring higher, but it's not clear that they're harder. In fact, they may be somewhat easier. Well, these are the 2004 scores, and as you can see, the Caucasian students are up. All the students are up if you average them. But again, there is a significant gap, and as long as 39% of African-American students score at the advanced or proficient level at eighth grade, that's not acceptable to me. Because I think we can do better. I think we've got the teachers and the talent and the ability to really work with our kids, but that starts with changing the school culture. It means looking at the equity formula that's supposed to be allocating resources to schools according to low income and other needs, and that's something that the current board has abandoned. It means attending things. And Juan, you say you haven't seen me. I have to say I've been at something like 30 board meetings in 1 year alone. So, you know, if you didn't see me, I don't know where you were, but I was there. The forums on disproportionate minority confinement where people raise some critical issues about what happens when students are in the system and then re-enter the schools. Critical issues from students about profiling and what their counselors are telling them. We need to start listening, we need to start addressing, and we need to start acting on what our parents and our communities are telling us about their children's experience in the schools so that the children are in environments where they feel they can succeed, and that means feeling safe, accepted, and above all, valued.
Okay, again, that was Lucy Mathiak. She's one of two candidates in C2.
May I just ask,
please,
are those charts available somewhere online that people could look at them?
They can be, sure.
Okay,
maybe we can talk about that later.
Yeah, I can do that.
Okay. Yeah, and in general, throughout the morning, if there are other resources that you want to make available, yeah. And we'll also be sure to get a link up to the various websites off of our website so people can check out those resources. Again, you're listening to Forward Forum, a very special broadcast presented.